Welcome to the Faith Element podcast for the March 18, 2018 session, focusing on Psalm 51, Clean Hearts. I'm David Cassidy.
I'm Nikki Hardiman.
I'm Bert Montgomery.
And I'm Daniel Glaze.
Well, we have titled this session, Clean Hearts, and there's several mentions of a heart in the text. But, you know, okay, we've got Bert back with us, and I mean, there are a lot of songs that talk about hearts, too, right? I mean, there was even a band back in the 70s heart. That was named Heart. I don't know, do y'all have a favorite song that deals with the heart?
Don't go breaking my heart.
Oh, yeah.
The perfect eclipse of the heart.
Yes. Oh, that's a good one.
What was the Kenny Loggins song? I've stumped Bert.
Yeah, no, I can't think of it. I'm gonna upset people. I hate this song. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. But immediately when you mentioned the word heart and songs, the first thing that came to my mind was Bon Jovi, "Shot Through the Heart," and you're to blame. You give love a bad name. Oh, I hate that with a passion.
And yeah, we talk a lot about hearts, and even my cereal has this heart healthy thing on it.
I just have Lucky Charm shaped hearts in mine.
Oh,
do you?
Oh, those are good. You know, they're adding unicorns to the
Lucky Charms. Oh, that's very exciting.
I know, isn't that
Daniel's
fun?
Daniel's really excited.
This will change my morning routine right now.
Can we get an adult health healthy version of those?
I see. I think Lucky Charms fit.
Yeah.
You know. Well, we do talk a lot about the heart, and this text does as well. So, Daniel, might you be able to help us get started with our conversation around it?
Yeah, I'll give it a try. And when I read this psalm, which is sort of, I don't know, for my money, sort of the classic Lenten psalm, I thought back to a story that I had read about on CNN on their website. And so I'll have to throw a link to that in our show notes. So if you want to follow along, you can feel free to check that out. The story was about an incredible man named Anthony Colone. And here's his story. The day Anthony heard his older brother had been gunned down in East Harlem, he began struggling with a rage that would last for years. The anger at his brother's death just really wore him down. And Anthony loved his older brother, and he hated the man who killed him. Anthony says, it put so much hate in my life. I hated everybody. I hated everything. It made me into a monster. Anthony says, I loved my brother because he always stood up for me, even as a little kid. He always saw that goodness in me. But as the years passed, that anger began to subside, as it often does with time. He got married, had two children. Anthony even became a Christian. Anthony said he put Jesus within his heart. Anthony said that Jesus put within his heart a desire to find reconciliation with his brother's killer. So one day, Anthony went to the prison where a man named Michael Rowe was serving a sentence for the murder of Anthony's brother. The guards brought Michael to the visitor's area to see Anthony, and they thought there was going to be an altercation. Michael said he felt remorse and shame, unable to forgive himself for murdering another young man, and he was afraid of Anthony retaliating. So the two men stood face to face, and Anthony said this, "Brother, I've been praying for you. I want you to know I've forgiven you. I've been praying I would see you again." And so then Anthony started visiting Michael regularly, encouraging him to get his life together. Michael started to, based on their friendship that had started, Michael began to take some college courses. He even achieved a master's degree. And get this, the day of his graduation, Anthony shows up, and he's the one who gets to put Michael's master's robe around his neck. Anthony even came to Michael's parole hearing, where Michael said this to the board, deciding his fate. "Anthony is my hero. I have two sons of my own, and if my sons grow up to be half the man that Anthony Colone is, I will be an incredibly proud father." I don't know if I can sum it up or explain any better than that how I feel about Anthony Colon. He has changed my life. I don't know about you, but maybe I'm a sap, but I just love to hear a good story about forgiveness. And maybe I love to see these stories because, frankly, we don't see very much of it nowadays. And I don't mean what passes for forgiveness. You know, hey, let's just let bygones be bygones, or, you know, don't worry about it. It's not that big a deal. That's not forgiveness. True forgiveness is taking what is tragically broken and making it right again. True forgiveness is about a deep healing of broken relationships. Taking the balance sheet and erasing it, saying, I don't count this against you anymore. And just like it was for Anthony, true forgiveness is a removal of that poison which can destroy your life. And I think we also see so little forgiveness today because forgiveness is hard. Maybe more than hard. I think forgiveness is impossible. But the truth is, Jesus is always calling us to do the impossible. Love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. Turn the other cheek. Do good to those who hurt you. Those things are not possible either. So when Jesus calls us to forgive our enemies, he knows he's asking us for the impossible. Forgiveness may be impossible, but it's also essential. Up to this point, I've been speaking of forgiveness as if we were the ones doing the forgiving. But if we're honest, we have many more reasons to ask forgiveness than grant it. That's the testimony of Psalm 51, I think. That we all need forgiveness. We all need mercy. And we can talk all night about David's need for mercy and forgiveness. But I'm not going to throw stones. Because if I'm honest, all in my heart is not pure and clean. The same is true for you. So the psalmist pleads for God to give him a clean heart and a new and right spirit. As I said, this is a classic Lenten psalm, because Lent is that time in which we work out this forgiveness business. This is a time for you and me to seek to restore our relationships with God. For some of us listening on this podcast, we desperately need a release from a guilt which is crushing our hearts. And if that's your testimony, this psalm is for you. Psalm 51 speaks of a God whose mercy is great, whose love is eternal. The God to whom the psalmist prays is the very God who stands ready to forgive you and me, even before the first word of repentance arrives on our lips. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's a little background on our text for today.
Yeah.
I think you can wrap it up now, David.
I know, right? That was awesome.
I learned this psalm at youth camp because there was a song that was played for us teenage 90s Christians it was this psalm set to music. And it was this beautiful melody. I've been trying to recall it all day because I was looking at the passage earlier. And so I can't quite recall the melody, but I remember that whenever we would sing it, everybody would start crying. And I think that in part it was the melody was beautiful and it moved all of us. Part of it was we were all teenagers and anything that was slightly emotional would cause us all to burst into tears. But I think the other thing is that the words of this hymn are so clear. When you read this, sometimes scripture is really inaccessible, and you really have to dig to figure out what's going on. But when we read the words of this hymn and we understand that it's after David has come to terms with what he's done.
I don't know what this has to do with anything, but I've often wondered aloud whether it's easier to forgive or ask forgiveness.
I think it's harder to ask forgiveness.
Because both of those, I mean, we're talking about the heart here, take an incredible amount of vulnerability, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To either lay bare your own heart and say, I've done wrong, and I need forgiveness, or asking forgiveness, and forgiving someone, while we love to talk of it as a release, what does it mean to no longer hold that over someone? If forgiveness is to be true, then it's not still held over their heads. It's incredibly difficult. As I said, I wonder if it's not just impossible.
I was going to ask why you called it impossible in your intro.
For me, at least. And I don't want to speak for others, but without God's help, it's not. I don't know that it's something I do very easily or can do at all. Because I think, I mean, so much of our human nature is wrapped up in the need to get even. I mean, we've built our communities around this. We've built entire defense systems around this, that we're, if people hit us, we hit them back and we hit them harder. How do you talk about terrorists? How do you talk about forgiveness in a world of terrorists? How do you talk about forgiveness in light of a horrific school shooting? Maybe I'm pessimistic, but without the model of God's love and forgiveness, I don't know that I can do that. I don't know. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I was just curious. I mean, I think that resonates a lot. I do think that figuring out, when we talk about true forgiveness, and accepting forgiveness, I mean, forgiving ourselves is another thing that we have to learn how to do. I think you're right. I think that it is probably impossible without God's help. I think that forgiveness may also be something that we have to choose over and over again in some cases. So, because it's impossible for our brains to forget when someone has done something to harm us or hurt us. Mm-hmm. And so it is about choosing relationship over choosing disconnection, I think. And if it's a harmful situation, I'm not talking about putting ourselves back in harmful situations. But if the ability to restore a relationship is there, I think it's choosing to honor that relationship and work for it over that. I mean, you talked about it required vulnerability, mm-hmm. right? And when we choose to not forgive, that's us trying to protect ourselves. Forgiveness is risky. It's opening ourselves up to the potential for hurt again.
Is it Anne Lamott who says that forgiveness is giving up the right to fight back? You just deciding, I'm not going to punch back anymore. Because you're always, even if it's somebody that's hurting you now or somebody that has hurt you in the past, you're always fighting with that person emotionally. Mm-hmm. And forgiveness is just saying, I'm through fighting back. I'm through punching back. And maybe that's part of, you know, one of y'all mentioned earlier about forgiving ourselves. We're always beating our own selves up. And reliving the mistakes we've made and punching ourselves down, punishing ourselves, you know, almost like this metaphorical, the reverend from the Scarlet Letter, right? Who was always beating himself for his transgressions. I mean, we do that emotionally all the time. Part of this clean heart is receiving God's forgiveness and understanding, allowing ourselves to forgive ourselves, not fighting back, not punching anymore.
As we've been talking, I keep looking at verse 6. You desire truth in the inward being, therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. And it's both that mention of truth, because, I mean, really, for us to achieve, for us to be able to even begin thinking about forgiveness or asking for forgiveness, I mean, truth has to be on the table, right? We've got to be able to, I mean, usually there's got to be truth out there. I did this, or this was done to me, or this happened, or we've got to be able to state it and name it and be real about it. And sometimes that's hard. I mean, I think it's interesting that you desire truth in the inward being, because sometimes even our inward beings, we fool ourselves, or we lie to ourselves, or we tell ourselves stories that aren't true. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart, which is probably a pretty good place to have wisdom.
You mentioned at the beginning if I knew any songs about the heart. And all this talking about forgiveness brought to mind a big, big song from the 90s by Don Henley called The Heart of the Matter. And the lyrics wrap up like this. There are people in your life who've come and gone. They've let you down. You know they've hurt your pride. You better put it all behind you because life goes on. You keep carrying that anger and it'll eat you up inside. And I've been trying to get down to the heart of the matter, but my will gets weak and my thoughts seem to scatter. But I think it's about forgiveness. I've been trying to get down to the heart of the matter, but the flesh will get weak and the ashes will scatter. So I'm thinking about forgiveness and forgiveness.
Thank you guys for this conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.